share the word of God with us. So please put your hands together to welcome him.
Good morning. It is a really special privilege to be able to share this morning. In fact, my dates of sharing was flowing between today and next week. But when I got today, I was very thankful because I wanted so much to celebrate my Chinese-ness. No, I became a Christian in 74. And the treatment at home or the persecution wasn't that much. But my main struggle was, am I now not a Chinese? And this has been one question that has nagged me for a long time. And the closer I begin to walk in my Christian faith, the further away I seem to be going from being a Chinese. And this actually bothers me quite a bit. So today I feel I would like to celebrate God for who we are, right? And just first of all, I want to welcome all of you who are coming back for Chinese New Year. Some of you are away working. Some of you are serving overseas. And today you come back because you come back to your roots. You come back to your family. And I think it's exactly what God is. He says, come back to me. Come back because I'm your father. So let's start today. I'd like to begin. I'm a little bit nervous. Oh, okay. Right. So if you are not connected to the power, then there is no action. All right. My question to you is it able to know God apart from the scripture? Is it able for us to know God apart from the scripture? Now, Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature has been clearly seen and being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Men are without excuse for not knowing God. Men are without excuse for not walking towards God. In other words, we can know God apart from the scripture. Now, some of you are a little baffled. Is guy speaking blasphemy? Now, Enoch walked with God. There was no scripture then. Job cried out to God. There was no scripture then. So it is possible because we are made from him. Their natural tendency is to move towards him. And this gives me such a sense of encouragement that our God who loves us is our Father and he's wanting to draw us back to him. It says Enoch walked with God for 300 years and he was no more. Now, I dare not say this, but there was one time when I began to tell myself, I would like to go home while I'm preaching. Now, I'm preaching and all of a sudden, there's a commotion, he fell. And then I'm ushered home. I thought, what a wonderful way to go. But I dare not say this out loud. Right. Now, the next scripture, and this is found in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Again, it is Paul. He says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted period and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way to Him and to find Him. Yet, He is actually not far away. Now, this scripture was in Athens. After Paul went to Athens and he has gone around the town and he saw all the idols and he saw an inscription to an unknown God. There was a history behind this. The history was there was a plague in Athens. And they couldn't stop the plague. And so when the council gathers together, they call in, like the pharaohs, the seers and the prophets and the wise men. And one of them said, perhaps there's one more God that we have not offered to. And according to the oracles, they went to Crete and called a name by the name of Epidamus. And he came and he says, yes, indeed, your king has slaughtered people after they promised not to. And if this God, whom we have offended, is able and loving, he will stop the plague when we offered it to him. The story goes that he said, I want you to get sheep that are not fed for the night, and the next morning, I want you to release them. And after you release them, he says, whichever sheep will not graze, but lie down, there we will set an altar. And so the altar, there were many, many altars to the unknown God. And they slaughtered the sheep and the plague stopped. And Paul, being a learned man, he took hold of this history and he said, this God whom you worship as unknown, I'm here to tell you. You know, our Father, our God, wants us to know Him. It is His desire for us to draw close to Him so that we might find Him and have that relationship. The next scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. It says, He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has set eternity in the hearts, in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. He has set eternity in our hearts. Yet no one can fathom what He has done. Today my topic is eternity in the Chinese heart. I know God looks down 1.4 or 1.7 billion people around the world. They are going to celebrate because they remember their roots. They're going to celebrate because God made them so numerous because He loves us Chinese. Now, for all you Americans that are here and the rest of you, the Koreans, the Japanese, don't feel small-hearted, all right? God loves you the same. But He made a lot of Chinese, right? So if you divide all the love, you get more share than us, right? Okay, Gong Xi Fa Chai, all right? Gong Xi Fa Chai, right? So today we want to celebrate what God has done through the Chinese people. I met a friend from Sarawak today. He's not from Sarawak, but he was staying in Bintulu. It reminds me of the story that when the missionaries first came to Malaysia, they went to Sarawak, and they found that the land was fertile, and these missionaries went to the resident, the British governor, and said, can I go back to China and bring Chinese people to Sarawak? He went back. He brought a whole village of Chinese people called the Fu Chao. He brought the Fu Chao to Kuching, and then they went off to Cebu, and that's where they settled. Do you know how much the Fu Chao has done for Malaysia? They are the most professional among the Chinese people. They have contributed one of the most to this country. Because when God's people, wherever they go, God bless them. so that they will be a blessing. The Chinese are a blessing to Malaysia. If all the Chinese were to leave, I don't think people will come and invest in Malaysia. Right? If there's no Chinese, there'll be no investment. So, you know, God loves the Chinese people. And today, I want to share with you three things. Right? Number one, I want to tell you three things about the Chinese New Year. Alright? It is called the Lunar Year or the Spring Festival. Okay? That's number one. Okay? Can you all say that? It's the Lunar New Year. Alright. Number one. Number two, it always falls on different days of the year. And it's between January 21st and February 20th. That's facts number two. Right? So it's a Lunar New Year. It falls on between January 21st to February 20th. And actually, I forgot my third thing. All right. Now, Pastor said, do come and visit us. All right? Pastor, you have mentioned something very, very serious. Because Chinese New Year lasts for 15 days. So you can go and visit him any of these 15 days. Right? Just tell him, Pastor, you said it. You said we can come and so that we can find out more. So he's going to be very busy for the next 15 days. So you can be a blessing to them. You can tell them all about your Chinese thing. Right? So Pastor Jeremy has sit right at the back there so that you don't have to see anything. Number two. Chinese language is very, very hard. And by the way, I don't write Chinese. I do not know Chinese. Right? But today, I'm going to perform a miracle. I'm going to make sure that all of you can write three Chinese words before the end of this time. Although I don't know Chinese, but I promise you that if you are a diligent student, I will teach you three Chinese words, right? Maybe I should do it first so that you can believe in me. Okay, can you do a line like this? Right? Then draw another line. And draw another line. I've taught you three Chinese words. Okay. E. Say with me. E. San, and this is a bonus. If you submit to these three, you draw a straight line down, it becomes Wong, means King. So if you submit to the Trinity, you become a king. Right? Is that good? Alright, so you've learned three things about Chinese New Year. You have now mastered three Chinese words. And now, I will tell you three things about the Chinese people. Right? That we are a people whom God has prepared from the beginning of time. Right? According to Chinese history, this year, 2016, it's the year 4,713th year of the Chinese New Year. In other words, the Chinese believe their history started way back 4,713 years ago. Now, this map here, it says our Bible history. Sorry. Okay, it started 4,000 BC, that means 6,000 years ago, but Bible history was recorded. Of course, Moses didn't live 6,000 years ago, but then God revealed to him, and he wrote the biblical history from Adam, which is 4,000 BC. So it's 6,000 years ago. And you find that the Chinese history starts somewhere between 2,000, maybe 200 to 2,700 BC. But according to the Chinese calendar, it is the year 4,713. Alright? So let's look at the history here. recorded history, and then you have the time of Noah. Now, I did some maths myself. I can count, you know. Believe me, I can count. Right? That the flood should come 1,656 years after Adam. Right? So Adam was born, take away 600, about 1,056 BC. I mean, a year after Adam. So it should be just a little bit after 3,000 BC. But the flood came 1,656 years after Adam, that it'd be about 2,400 BC. Right? And now, after the flood, there's a whole period of time, and then you have the Tower of Babel. Right? Now, after at the Tower of Babel, it says that the people have one language, and they spoke one language. They were united at one place called the Plain of Shinar. And it says, let us build a tower to God. All right, let's go to that. Now, something is wrong with my slide. No, something is wrong with my slide. All right? Okay. One of my slides is missing. Now, somebody edit. All right. So the Chinese history starts about maybe 2,300 years BC, around there, right? So you find that the Chinese history begins way after the Tower of Babel, right? Now, at the Tower of Babel, it says the people were scattered. Oh, boy. Intermission. The light has gone off. Oops. There was one. Moses. Okay, anyway, never mind. Let's look at the map. Look at the chart there. You find that Moses came about 1400 BC. Moses is after Abraham, right? Abraham, the few families, and then they got into Egypt. They were in Egypt for slave for 430 years. And then Moses came along, and he was the superhero. He went to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. There was 1400 BC. So you find that Moses wrote the whole account of mankind all the way back to Adam. And he lived so far away. It was God who revealed it to him. So we have the biblical account, which was a revelation of God. And the first 11 chapter is that history that we are talking about. That some missiologists call it the general revelation. But beginning with chapter 12 of Genesis, we have the specific revelation of God to the Jewish people. Right? So it was an account of Abraham all the way. So it was a specific revelation to a people. But let's look where. Okay. Now if the rectangle is the Plain of Shinar, then you find that after the Tower of Babel, then the people were divided into different tongues. Now you find according to history, you have got the Sumerian civilization, the Egyptian civilization, the Mesopotamia civilization. And I think all these civilizations are the earliest civilization because those people who were scattered, they go nearby there. But then take a look. From there, you have the Chinese people that are very kiasu. That means afraid of losing, okay, for the benefits of the Westerners. Afraid of losing. They must go furthest away. So you have the Chinese civilization, which is very far away, and therefore our history is shorter than the Egyptian. Of course, you can also talk about the Indian civilization, the Indus. So theirs is also older than the Chinese because they have shorter distance to travel. So the Chinese civilization came about after the Tower of Babel, right? But the Chinese people must have been very much like the Jewish people. It says, teach your children. Now, if you come to my family, you'll know I never stop teaching my children. They will tell you, Daddy never stopped teaching. Daddy never stopped asking. Daddy never stopped demanding. And that's the daddy of, that's the mindset of the Chinese people. Very much like the Jewish people. Huh? You must be the top, right? You must be the top. You must work the hardest. That's the Jewish people. And that's the Chinese people. The same with the Koreans and the Japanese. Always must be the top. Cannot lose. Right? So we belong to that group. And so we go the furthest away, right? Now, this is the Chinese word for migrate. Migrate. Right? So the children maybe say, Mom, Dad, where do we come from? He says, oh, Mom and Dad was far, far away, and then we migrated to China. And this is the word for migrate. The first word on my left, that is on your right, is great. The second word is division. And the third word is west. And then you walk, you get the word migrate. So migration is after the great division in the west, we walk all the way here. And that's how you get the word migrate. See, the Chinese people are very, very clever people, right? So they are very practical. So instead of using A, B, C, they use picture. They use picture. And so you remember. That's why you find that the Chinese people are very good at maths. Because they can create things in their mind. They can reason and they can remember. Right? They can remember things. So that's the word migrate. The Chinese people walk from the west after the great migration, division. Right? Okay, this is the map that I thought was missing. Right? The Chinese people started, we said about 2000 something BC. Right? That is the Chinese history. The first red line you saw is the Chinese people are known to worship only one God. All throughout history, they worship one God. When I became a Christian, one of the things that my friends, my parents tell me is, we are Chinese people. We follow Confucius. We follow Laozi. We are Taoists. We worship spirits. But this is what baffled me. We are also Buddhists. Huh? Where did Buddha come from? Buddha is not Chinese. But Confucius, Laozi, and Buddha came about the same time period, about 500 to 600 BC. Confucius was born 551, Laozi was born 563, and Gautama Buddha, he is an Indian, so I don't know when he was born, but somewhere around there. Okay? No offense, Asha. Right? But he was born in India. He was not in China. And Buddhism did not come to China until about maybe 50 BC or 20 BC around then. Travelers went from China to India to China. So you find that the five books, the Torah, was written about 1400 BC. So the Chinese did not borrow from the Bible. Okay? There's no way in which the Chinese people find some Bible somewhere, and then it says, we're going to form pictures according to the Bible. So today, because God reveals the Bible to Moses, I would like to draw a parallel of how the creation story was told to the hearts of the Chinese people. It was told to the heart of the Chinese people. All right, the Chinese language. It is the oldest continuous written language in the world. The Egyptian language have all gone, and we are trying to decipher and guess them. But the Chinese language is 4,000 over years old, and it's the longest continuous written language. Right? Language is very important to God. Right? When the Holy Spirit came, we spoke in tongues. Right? And when Israel became a nation, the language of a people dispersed 2,000 years came back and the Jewish people was able to speak Hebrew again. God's desire for people is to communicate to us. And therefore, language is very important to God, right? The second thing was his first written about 4,500 years ago. Now, this is a rough estimate. I wouldn't dare say that this is the right date. This must be the date. I know scientists do that. 100 million years ago, the earth was like this. And they tell as if it is true. 80 million years ago, the earth was like this. 30 million years ago, it was like this. But history is very much shorter than that. Okay? The writer of the Chinese language, the fathers of the Chinese language, they use picture to communicate. Because picture is something that you can see and visualize. So the Chinese people are very good at doing that. Right? Simple pictures combine to make complex thoughts. So the Chinese language is actually pictograph and ideograms. So picture, and then you form an idea. So pictures and an idea, and that's how you communicate. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, Then God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and the man became a living thing. All right? You have the word dust in the middle, man towards your left, your right. So my right. Okay, my right is also your right. Right. Okay, I got it now. Because I'm looking at something different, right? Okay, and the word life or breath. Now you add them together, you get the first. So God, he says, Where is the first man? Where did he first came from? He says, oh, simple. God took some dust. He made into a man, you know, like John, you know, tall, dark, and handsome. And then God said, and then he became alive. And that's first, right? So that's the word first. The first man was actually a living dust man. So that's how you tell stories to your children, right? Not simply the story, but simply the Bible. Okay, and then he says, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, my wife is very happy, right? I will make him a helper, like Emily. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took out of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the ribs, which the Lord God has taken from man, he make it into, wow, man. So when men look at the woman, he says, wow, that's how it is like. So when you look at your wife, you know, it must be that energy that come out. Wow! You know, it's something beyond. He has never seen this before. So he started with a wow, man. That's how it is. So this word here, it says two plus people becomes beginning. So we begin with just two people. Two plus people become beginning. See? So I'm now teaching you the Chinese Bible. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. Of course, the Bible says to work the land and all these things. So you've got one person in an enclosure. What do you get? You get the word west. So the children ask, Mom, Dad, where did we come from? Oh, we came from the west. You see, because God planted a garden there, and he put the man inside there, and so we came from the west. Not from the east or the north or the south, but we came from the west. Right? Now, when I was a Christian, like I said, when I became a Christian, I always felt that, you know, I must change my name. Right? I must change my name to John. And in fact, one of the missionaries said, why don't I call you Moses? Because you always talk nonstop. Right? But Moses actually didn't talk nonstop. It was Aaron. Sorry, he said he wanted to call me Aaron because I talk nonstop. My brother became a Christian first, but he cannot talk. So I'm the one who talks. So this missionary said, why don't you change your name to Aaron? But I was quite happy when I found this word. This word here, the one on my left is God plus one plus man in the garden. You get the word fu, which means blessing or happiness. And that's my name. My name is Fu. So I don't change my name. I keep my name saying Hok, Hok, Fu, Fu. It says, in the beginning, God and the man had close fellowship. This leads to true happiness. You know, when we can get ourselves free from the things and get into the garden with God, that is one of the greatest blessings in life. This morning when I was praying, I said, God, tell me something about me that I forgot. You know, after I became a Christian, this was my favorite song. I come to the garden alone, where the dew are still on the roses. I used to sing this song. I used to cry. You know, I'll come in the morning, then I'll do that. And when I went to Kuching, I would send my children to school. Then I'll go to the Reservoir Garden, Reservoir Park. And I'll sit there and I'll look into the darkness. And I'll be telling God, God, I'm here in the garden with you. I'm here. I want to hear you. You know, God so wants us to come to Him. Into the garden, away from all things. And He will talk with us. And He will walk with us. And He will call us His very own. And the joy we find as we tarry there, none other can compare. God wanted us. And He told the Chinese people, you are put in the garden. My name is Fu. It is God with me alone in the garden. And I have true happiness, true joy. And God said to me, son, you forgot that already a long time ago. So, you know, when God gives you a chance to preach, in fact, He ministered to you more than the people that are hearing the message, because God works in your heart to remind you of who He is. All right, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, out of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but one of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. This is the Chinese word. Two trees plus command. You get the word forbid or forbidden. Two trees. God said, out of one tree, you must not eat of it. Because the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So God gave the first command to them to forbid them of something. He says, of all the trees you can eat, but there are two trees in the middle. One is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and one is the tree of life. But don't you ever touch that tree. So the father will tell the children, there are two trees, and God forbid to eat of the fruits. So you get the word forbid. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food and it was pleasing to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her and he ate too. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6. The woman plus two trees is covered. The woman looked at the two trees and she began to covet the knowledge. She began to covet the trees. And that's the word for covet. You know, God wrote this history for the Chinese people. Now, let's go back further down the road now. Okay? Noah. God was very, very saddened that He made mankind, because every intent of man was towards evil. And God said, I regret making mankind. I shall destroy all of them. But in looking down upon man, God saw Noah, a righteous man. And God said, I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to start with Noah and his three sons and Noah's wife and the three wives of the son. I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to clean the earth straight away. And so the Chinese have this history. A vessel or a boat on your left. You have got eight. The mouth or person. You add then a boat with eight people inside. A very big boat, which is a large ship. So the Chinese people, when looking at this, were to remember, oh, we all started with eight people in the boat, and God started it. Now look at this. I managed to find this somewhere. I don't know where I got it. It's just eight plus united plus earth equals total. Total plus water equals flood. Mouth or person, mouth, plus eight plus water, it is to hand down or to continue. So it is as if God instructed the Chinese people and said, I want you to continue. Tell them. Tell this to your children. Just in Psalm 78, it says, I want you to tell them to your children and to your children's children and to their children's children's children so that they will remember me. So God instructed the hearts of the Chinese people. He says, remember the time of the flood. There was eight people. Why eight people only say? Because the world was evil. So don't be evil. Eight people. That is where we begin. So tell them to your children. Don't get involved in evil, wickedness. God hates that. Tell them to your children that the righteous man Noah and his son, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. We begin from there. So tell them to your children. So the Chinese talk, the Korean talk, the Japanese talk, we are from, or the European talk too, are from Shem. We are from the lineage of Shem. Alright. Having told you that God placed eternity in the hearts of the Chinese people through their written form of language. But God also handed down other things through them. Today is New Year Eve. Now I remember as a boy growing up, and this is something that we do naturally. It wasn't something taught. I don't remember being taught. But it was something that we just did as a ritual or as a custom. Now I'm not trying to say something against the speaker of last week that says traditions are no good. Of course, he saw it from the point of Tiber, you know. Tradition, you know. And then everything goes wrong. But I grew up with traditions. The Chinese New Year Eve was a one day as a boy growing up. Nobody taught me. I don't remember when it was taught. Chinese New Year Eve, we were clean. Just before Chinese New Year, we were clean the house. We were clean from top to bottom. And it was wonderful because I like playing with water. And it was like hosting all the way up, you know, and then playing and then with the soap. And then you are skidding here and there. And there was this. And then we will anticipate. Now, when Chinese New Year comes, there will be ang pao. We will anticipate another thing. Chinese New Year, on the Chinese New Year first day, there will be the lion dance. But what we love about Chinese New Year Eve is this. It is the reunion dinner. Boy, we were greedy pigs those days. Eating and food was one of the things we loved the most. And Chinese New Year's reunion dinner means steamboat. Lots of food, you know. You eat until, you know, you cannot eat. The next batch, my brothers go and eat. After that, we go back and eat. No, reunion dinner. This was the one thing. And after the reunion dinner, my parents would tell us this thing. Children, we are going to the temple. We are going there to worship God. Right? We are going to worship God at the temple. And then, when we come home, we're going to close up everything until the next morning. I remember this was one of the traditions that we grew up with. Nobody taught us, but year after year we would do it, year after year. I didn't know the meaning, I didn't know the reason for it, but I'll tell you later, I promise. Okay, there's one thing that the Chinese people make sure that they establish. It is the whole ceremony or rites of worship. You find that in China, in Beijing, you find the Tian Tian, which is the altar to heaven, or the altar to heaven, right? So you find this is one of the most magnificent Chinese building that when people go there, they will visit. It is that God says, this is so important that we want you to make sure that you set up, just like the Jewish people, they set up the altar, starting from Abraham, they set the altar. And then during time of kings, then David say, I'm not worthy, I'm a worm, but allow me to build the temple for you. And God say, no, not you, David. You are a man of blood. You cannot build my temple. He said, I'll let your son build. You see, God desires to make his presence felt in us. He wants us to see it. He wants us to experience it. He wants it to be tangible. So the Chinese people, whenever it's a capital city, they'll build a temple there. A temple, an altar of worship. Right? Why is it so important? Why is it so important that we worship God? Because all authority is given by God. And the Chinese people knows that. The emperor knows that. He's not worthy, but God gives him the ability to rule. So he would say that, you know, God, I want to seek you at least once a year. I worship you. Confucius said this. He who understands the ceremonies of the sacrifice of heaven and earth would find the government of a kingdom as easy as to look into his palm. In Psalms 28 or 29, I think, it is said that the ways of the kings are in the palms of God's hand, and he directs it whichever way it goes. If we were to follow heaven's decree, if the king were to follow heaven's decree, if the king will understand what worship is unto the Almighty Shanti, he will find the government of his kingdom as easy as looking into the palm of his hand. God is telling us, if you were to walk in the way of consecration, of dedication to me, understanding where you are and why you are made, you will live life as easy as the palm of your hand. Sometimes we struggle. We want more of everything. We want bigger house, bigger car, bigger this, bigger that, and so on. But God said, if we were to understand what living sacrifice means, Romans 12, it says, you offer your body a living sacrifice, then you will know the good and perfect will of God. We do not know God by excesses of everything. We know God by living our life as living sacrifice. So Confucius says this, and the emperor, every year they will go and worship. It is very elaborate. As I do the research of it, I thought, well, I could do a seminar on the sacrifices and worship, but that's for I don't know when. Okay, animal sacrifice and what it is in the eternity of the Chinese heart. Okay. Why did the emperor sacrifice a bull on the great white marble altar of heaven at the annual ceremony, the year's most important and colorful celebration, the so-called border sacrifice? The sacrifice by the emperor is a very elaborate ceremony. It involves the whole palace. It involves days of preparation. It involves musicians and dancers. It involves sacrifices. And the Chinese emperor, from as far as they can remember, they will offer a sacrifice every year. There was only a break in one of the emperor. Emperor Wu Yi. This emperor was so arrogant that he would not do it. And what he does is this. He will put pig's blood hanging up and then he'll put an idol. He makes an idol And then he will shoot at it, and then the pig's blood will fall on the idol, and he calls it sacrifice. You know, God did not remain silent for long. A few years later, he was on a hunting trip, and lightning struck him, and he died. You must say it's sad, but the Chinese was in awe of who God is because of the incident. They were so awe that you don't make idols and worship. You don't make fun using idols, but we worship an invisible God. A God who is invisible, yet his fingerprint is in all of our life, every day of our life. So why is it so important? It's so important because the emperor recognized that he is actually a person that God has mandated to rule. And so long as he rules according to God's mandate, then all will be fine. Okay? Now we find that Moses, some of you don't like to read the book of Leviticus. Why? Because it is this boring repetition of the sacrifices and what needs to be done, and we all skip Leviticus. But the Chinese feel that the rituals of the sacrifice are so important that we must follow them. Right? Just one word. You have the word ox on your right. The second word is yang, which means sheep. The third word is sui, I think, which means unblemished or beauty. And the last word is a spear. You add this together, you get the word a sacrificial animal. Right? And it's so amazing that you actually have the bull, the sheep, unblemished, and the spear. And that's what sacrifice is all about. Did the Chinese read Leviticus? No, they didn't. God placed eternity in the hearts of the Chinese people so that they can then go out and be a blessing. They can have the assurance and confidence that we are children of God. The land of China has always been called the land of God. The land of God. Okay, I'm coming to my end very quickly. Because blessed is he who preached short, for he shall be invited again. Okay, so you have the hand, right? And you have the lens or the sword. When you add the two together, you get the word me. Now, of course, today is the I world. iPad, iPod, I everything. Everything is about me. But according to the Chinese people, the word me is a contentious word. You're always wanting, always fighting. You know, it is like the hand getting a spear and always fighting. And that's the word for me. What did Jeremiah 17:9 says? The heart is deceitful above all things. And who can understand it? Who can understand? Paul said, I want to do good, but I end up doing bad. But God said, if you, it is me, watch this. This is really beautiful. Me, plus the word yang, sheep, you get the word righteous. If you have the sheep over you, then you are righteous before God. There's none righteous. But when God looks down and saw his son, the lamb that was sacrificed over you, God said, enter in to my kingdom. We are righteous only if we have Jesus over us. Without Jesus over us, we are filthy rags before God. I'd like to end here, although I didn't even start praying. God forgive me. We didn't even ask God to bless. But I'd like to end here. Now I talk about the past. I talk about celebrating the Chinese New Year Eve. A few years ago, I had this, I don't say it's a revelation, but comparison, that the Chinese New Year Eve is just like the Passover of the Jewish people. They gather all the people into the house, into the family. We slaughter an animal, and then we put the blood over it, and we stay indoor until morning. We did the same thing, right? Chinese New Year Eve, we put the red things over the door. We have the reunion dinner, and then my parents said we are going to the temple to pray for blessing for next year. But they were going to pray so that there will be no calamity. The Chinese word is kuo nian. That means go over the year. But nian can also be a beast. And the beast came and killed the people. And so what the Chinese people do is, after they have eaten the meal, they will put up all the lanterns. They will put firecrackers and view firecrackers until practically the place is littered with red colors. Right? And then we make a lot of noise because we want to ward away evil. We don't want evil. And the next morning, the great excitement is, when is the lion dance coming? Dong, 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 chang, dong, 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 chang, you know. And we'll be waiting from far. We hear, I would have all my crackers ready because I take great joy in trying to frighten them when they are dancing. But nothing happens, you know. But one of the amazing things is this. When the lion dance comes, you see, my father will open the door wide. All the doors will be opened wide. The lion will dance into the house. And then he goes to this little altar. And they will take the orange as a sacrifice. And they will put a red piece of paper. And for the Chinese, you know it is written, Chut Jip Ping An. There is peace in your coming in and your going out. So every year, the Chinese people look forward to that peace. We look forward to the peace of the year that's coming. They are still looking. Just like the Jewish people, they celebrate the Passover. And when Jesus came, they were still wanting to celebrate Passover. The sacrificial lamb has come. It is done once and for all in Hebrews. And yet they are still wanting to keep to the tradition. The Chinese people, likewise, they had the lion dance. And you know, in Chinese history, I went to Wikipedia and checked, there's no lion in China. There's tiger. Lion and dragons are actually something that's not found. But you have the lion dance. The lion dance, why? You know, it's a prophetic thing. The Lion of Judah will come one day into our home. And there will be peace. The Chinese people are looking for the Lion of Judah. I finish with this word. Okay. This word is the word Lai. On your right hand side, it says Lai. The Lai is made up of two person plus a three. Or, take away the three, you put a cross. Plus a man hanging on the cross. So the word lie is when Jesus died on the cross. He was hung on the cross. Two men hung next to him. And God said, come. Come, all you who are laden, heavy laden. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come, all you who are hungry. Come and I'll give you rest. You know, God has come. And it's our job as Chinese people not only to embrace it fully, but we are going there to tell our Chinese friends that Jesus has come. The Lion of Judah has come. And he's saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. There's no need for us to celebrate Chinese New Year again and again and again. But we have to come to Jesus and embrace him. So that we will be righteous before him. Now, you read the things that's up there that was written. In Acts chapter 17, it says, God allocate the period and the place where you stay, so that we may seek him and that we may find him. And he's not far away from us. Coming back to today's history, God is at work. In 1948, Israel became a nation. And all people went back to Israel, the Jewish people. In 1949, Mao Zedong took over the Chinese Revolution and started the Red Book. There was estimated 1 million Christians then. Today, 60 years later, there are hundreds of millions of Chinese Christians. The fastest growing church is in China. Eternity in the hearts of the Chinese people. I was talking to my daughter a few days ago, and she said in the University of York, there are so many colleges. Every college, the Chinese people are doing Bible studies there. God is calling. It says closing time is at hand. Says the Chinese people, you are so numerous. I'm going to send you out. Missionaries are going out. Yes, we have benefited through history. The gospel have tried to go into China many, many times. The first time was during the Mongol rule, the Yuan dynasty. Genghis Khan's grandson, Kublai Khan, met up with Marco Polo, the young traveler, in 1279. That time, Islam has come to the courts of the Chinese palace. And he said to Marco, go back and ask the Pope to send missionaries. Pope Clement V sent two. One of them, John of Montecopino, arrived in 1294, the year Marco Polo died. And so the reception wasn't that. But yet, Christianity spread in the palace. There was about 2,500 converts. And Christianity was the people practiced by people in the courts. There were four mission homes. But it stopped there because the Mongol Empire was overtaken by the Ming Dynasty. And because the Mongols were foreigners, the Ming rejected Christianity. But God works in the heart. Emperor Wang Li. And one of the famous European is an Italian by the name of Matteo Ricci. He went there in 1582. And he worked in the imperial courts. And through him, you find that Christianity spread because the Christians that went there, they were skilled in what they do. The skill, the missionaries were skilled. And so the emperor put them in important position in the imperial court. And then you have the very famous Chinese emperor, Kangxi, in 1610 or so. Kangxi rules the longest, 60 years. And he is reputed to have become a Christian. And that he was spreading it as an edict that Christianity is the religion. But when there is good things, bad things follow. Pope Clement XI considered the Chinese religion as something which is ritualistic and not from God. And he wrote a decree. It's called the Rites Controversy, and Christianity more or less stopped there. Until Hudson Taylor went again. Hudson Taylor with China Indian Mission. You see, God has the Chinese people at his heart because he wants the Chinese people to be a blessing elsewhere. It is our job now that we have come to Christ and we have experienced and tasted of goodness that we are to be a blessing. So, Kong Si Fak Choy and be a blessing.
Thank you, Sing Hock.
Let me pray first. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, in my excitement that you are welcome in the midst of us, even from the time we worship you. But Lord, I pray that with this revelation, help us, Lord, to be enabled and empowered by you with faith to go out and share the good news. of how God loves the Chinese people. He has placed eternity in our hearts that we have found you and that we can fathom the mystery so that we can tell others. Father, we thank you that this season of Chinese New Year, wherever we go, help us, Lord, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I learned quite a few Chinese words from him. Like Seng Hock, I do not write Chinese, even though I can understand, I can converse. There are many parallels between Chinese culture and what we know in the Bible. Right? I think this is very helpful for us to understand, you know, especially us with Chinese background, you know, so that we don't go back and tell our parents that the things that you are doing is from the devil. You know, and a lot of our Chinese parents actually shun Christianity because after we have come to the Lord, we go back and tell them that, hey, these things we are not supposed to do anymore and it's from the devil, and then, you know, we just put them far away from God, right? So we need to ask for God's wisdom. Yeah. Although there are things that are practiced, you know, can be demonic sometimes. So that's why we have to use our discernment. Okay. Today I want to end by just praying for us. You know, I was asking the Lord, what shall I pray for the church, especially those of you who are Chinese? And I just feel that I want to pray a prayer of blessing. You know, my American friend say that Chinese people are like coconuts. Have you ever heard of that one before? Because we float to all the places in the world. You go everywhere in the world, you will find Chinese people. So it liken us to be like coconuts, you know. Yeah, and I think one of the things that I desire for my children is that that God will enlarge their territory, you know. And it's not about power and fame, but it is about influence, you know. It is about having that good influence that we have received from God. And we want to pass it on from one generation to another generation. I want my children to have big influence. I don't want them to be rich or to be famous. I want them to be godly, and I want them to pass on that godly tradition from one generation to another generation. And there was this man in the Bible, and his name is Jabez. Jabez, the mother gave birth to him through a very difficult situation. Very hard to give birth. You know. And then when Jabez come out, he prayed for himself this prayer of blessing. And it is very well known as the prayer of Jabez. Yeah, and it's only a very short prayer. So today, as we leave this place, I want to pray this prayer on you. And I want all of us here to receive that God will enlarge your territory, that God will bless you. Shall we all stand as we receive this prayer of blessing together? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you this day for gathering us together as your children to worship you, to bless your holy name, to listen to your word, O God. We know that as we listen to your word, we are listening to you, Lord, because the word that has been sent forth, Lord, it will not return to you void, for it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent forth, Lord. Father, I pray this prayer of blessing, Lord, for your children, that you will bless them, that you will enlarge their territory, that your hand will be upon each of them, that you will keep each one from harm, so that they will be free from pain. For I pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people say, Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. And happy Chinese New Year once again to all our Chinese friends. Have a good week ahead.